Okay, just for the recording, the webcast this evening is called Walking as Jesus Walked. And this is something I've really been thinking about over the last 2 or 3 years, particularly as I've written my book, my second book, Planted in Love, where I try to explore what it looks like to walk as Jesus walked. Because I really believe that it's possible for us to do that. I really believe it's possible for us to walk as Jesus walked and to live our life as he lived his life. It's not something that's out there and unattainable, but it's something that we can bring into our hearts and something that can become an everyday reality. And so this evening, I just want to explore some of these things of what it looks like to begin to walk as Jesus walked. And we'll start off in 1 John chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, where John writes, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Now, when we first read those words, they appear quite strong. You know, John is saying, if you say that you know him, but you don't keep his commandments, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. Then he goes on to say, if we are claiming to live in him, we ought to walk in the same way as Jesus walked. And on first reading, you know, these words can appear quite direct. And it's like John is being really straight down the line here. And it's very, very easy for us to miss the point and to interpret John's words as a new set of commandments or a new set of rules by which we should live. But we need to remember who John was. John was the disciple who had a very, very intimate relationship with Jesus. He was the disciple who leant against Jesus's chest in that Last Supper. He was the disciple who wrote in his gospel that Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. And he's the one who really presents us in his gospel with this amazing picture of a loving Father and the reality of us being able to step into that relationship of oneness and unity. So we need to remember who is speaking these words, and we need to remember, you know, John's understanding of what love is. And even though his being pretty direct here, he is not giving us a new set of rules, but is showing us a new way of life. You know, when he uses this word ought, or other people might use the word should, that's quite often a word that turns us off, because we really don't like being told what we should or shouldn't do. But the reality is that there are some things I should do if I am to avoid a penalty or a punishment. I mean, for example, in the UK, it's a good idea that I drive my car on the left-hand side of the road. Now, I know for most of you other people, it would be a good idea for you to drive your car on the other side of the road. I know you like to say it's the right side, and in one sense it is, but it's not the right side as far as we're concerned. And you know, whenever I get in my car, I don't have a decision to make. It's automatic for me to drive on the left-hand side of the road in this country, because I know if I drive on the right-hand side of the road in this country, I'm going to cause an accident. It's not going to be considerate for other people, and I'm going to end up with a penalty or a punishment or something. You see, so there are certain things that I should do simply for the good of our society or the good of our communities. But there are also other things that I should do if I want to avoid broken relationships, particularly with those that I love. you know, it's a good idea for me to treat my children kindly and to be nice to them. Not because I have to, but because I value the relationship I have with them. And I don't want to do anything that would cause a broken relationship. And that's the context we need to understand these words from John in. You see, John is not giving us a new set of rules. He's not giving us a new set of commandments. He's not lining things up and saying, this is what you have to do in order to live a good life. But he's showing us how this relationship is lived out. And what I want you to do this evening as I'm talking is I want you to set everything that I say in the context of relationship. You see, John is describing a relationship. And when we put these words in the context of that relationship, they actually become a source of life to us rather than the burden of the law. And so everything I say this evening, I want you to interpret in that context of relationship. You know, this is not a set of rules. This is not something you have to do, but this is the way of life that John opens us up to if we are going to walk in the same way that Jesus walked. See, when we read John's letter, this first letter that John wrote, we actually see that it's full of relationship. He starts off chapter one by saying, you know, he is writing to us about the things that he has seen, the things that he has heard, and the things that he has experienced. So he's telling us about his personal encounter with Jesus, his personal encounter with the Father. And he's saying, you know, these are things that I have experienced in my own life. These are things I've seen with my own eyes, I've heard with my own ears, and I have lived in. And John's an old man when he's writing this letter, and he's lived in this relationship for many, many years. And that's what he's sharing with us. He's unburdening his heart to us and saying, this is what this heart relationship looks like. And so I want you to interpret everything I say in the context of relationship. At the very start of 1 John chapter 3, John writes, you know, how great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us that we may be called the children of God. And then he punches it home and he says, and that is who we are. You see, he is writing about a relationship. And I want us to understand that everything we're going to talk about tonight is in that context. See, John is showing us what this relationship looks like. It's not he's interpreting it to it as and giving it to us. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. But it's showing us how Jesus lived his life, and he's inviting us to step into that. You see, walking as Jesus walked is not drawing up a list of all the miracles that Jesus did and sticking it on your fridge in the kitchen and ticking them off one by one when you've done them. You know, it's not like trying to be a clone. But it's all about having the same heart as Jesus had. It's walking in fellowship and in oneness with the Father in exactly the same way as Jesus walked in fellowship and oneness with the Father. You see, many of us think it's all about what we do. And that's why I use that little illustration about, you know, it's not going through the Gospels and drawing up a list of all the miracles that Jesus did and trying to copy them. Because the reality is, if we try and do that, you know, most of us get really stuck and discouraged very, very quickly. You know, last week I was in Finland and I practiced my only miracle. I'm really getting very, very good at this. I walked on water. Every winter when I go to Finland, I walk on the water and I practice it. The only problem is, of course, it's ice and it's sort of maybe 10 centimeters thick, but it's frozen water. So I'm starting off, you see. And, how many of us have raised the dead? How many of us have seen major healings? It would be very, very easy to get really, really discouraged if walking as Jesus walked was copying the things he did and ticking the boxes and saying, I've done it. The more boxes we tick, the better we feel about it. But it's not that at all. Walking as Jesus walked is having fellowship and oneness with the Father, just like he did. And what that leads to is us beginning to see in our lives the fruit of the Spirit. We read about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where Paul writes, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." See, this is a really, really well-known passage, but it shows us how Jesus walked. See, Jesus lived his life in perfect and complete love. He lived his life in perfect and complete joy. He lived his life in perfect and complete peace. He lived his life in perfect and complete patience, in perfect and complete kindness, in perfect and complete goodness, in perfect and complete faithfulness, in perfect and complete gentleness, and perfect and complete self-control. And as we begin to walk as Jesus walked, this fruit of the Spirit will grow in our lives. And I think if we're honest, all of us long to see more of this fruit. But this is, you see, the Holy Spirit, as I've really come to see over the last few years, the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit of sonship. When Jesus is talking in John chapter 14, he's saying to his disciples, he says, look, guys, I've been with you for 3 years. I'm going back to my Father. He says, I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to back to the place where I came from. And I'm going to send another comforter, another counselor who will be with you forever. Now he's talking about the Holy Spirit there. And then he goes on to say, immediately after he said, I will send another comforter, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And when we receive the Holy Spirit in our hearts, the principal thing the Holy Spirit does within us is to confirm in our hearts that we are no longer orphans, but we are sons and daughters. And that's just amazing. And when we have this Holy Spirit living inside of us, confirming to us that we are no longer orphans, the fruit of that Holy Spirit, the fruit of that Spirit of sonship within us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that's us, that's you and me, beginning to live, beginning to walk as Jesus walked. Let me just read these verses again from the Passion Translation. Many of you know that I like the Passion Translation, and I just find it expresses things in a slightly different way and brings a bit of freshness. But this is what the Passion Translation says. The fruit of the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its various expressions. This love is revealed through joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness on display, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. And I love that, because that's talking about the fruit of the Spirit is an expression of love being revealed through us. That all of these things that Paul gives us as the fruit of the Spirit are really seen as an expression of the Father's love being poured into our hearts. And this is what it looks like for us to walk as Jesus walked. When we live in love, when we walk as Jesus walked, the fruit of the Spirit will multiply in us. When Jesus was talking to his disciples in John chapter 15, he's talking about the branch and the vine, and he's talking about that horrible word called pruning. And we don't like that very much. You know, we don't like this idea of being pruned. But that word pruning actually is the same word as cleansed. And when so Jesus is saying, you know, the pruning is actually a cleansing. But one of the things Jesus says in John chapter 15 is that we will, when we abide in him, when we live in him, we will bear abundant fruit and fruit that lasts. And I think the reality of many of our lives is very often we see a little bit of fruit, but it's not abundant fruit, and it's not fruit that often lasts. But Jesus promises us that when we abide in him, we will bear fruit that is lasting fruit, and it's abundant fruit. And that's the desire of my heart, is that we begin to see this abundant and this lasting fruit growing within us. You see, Jesus said when we abide in him, we bear fruit. But we have to remember that in John chapter 14, Jesus has just said to his disciples that he is in the Father. See, and the Father is in him. And so if we are abiding in Christ and Christ is in the Father, then we too are in the Father. We're hidden in the Father. And when we're hidden in him, and his love is being poured into our hearts, it is manifest in these amazing ways of joy and peace and patience and kindness and so on. And that is what I believe it means for us to walk as Jesus walked. You see, the original mandate in the garden to Adam before the fall was be fruitful and multiply. See, that's sort of deeply ingrained into our DNA as human beings, is to be fruitful and to multiply. And when we walk as Jesus walked, when we abide in him, we will be fruitful. You see, fruit does not come from following a set of rules. You know, following a set of rules brings legalism and religion, but fruit comes as divine love is expressed within us. You know, fruit is this expression of the love of the Father in our hearts. And it comes, very, very simply, it comes from relationship. It comes from our relationship with him. And, you know, when we walk as Jesus walked, we are transformed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. You know, Paul writes that in Corinthians. And, you know, I often, I guess it was a few months ago that I saw this verse about being changed from one degree of glory to another. I saw it in a different light, because it says that we are changed from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. That means the Father sees you and me as glorious right now. And whatever's going on in your life, whatever's happening in your life, the Father looks at you and he sees his glory in you. And that level and extent of glory that is being manifest in you already is going to be changed and transformed to a deeper and deeper level. So you know, I hope we can allow the eyes of our heart to be opened so that we can see who we really are, that we are glorious in the Father's sight, that we're glorious in his eyes, and he is taking us into this deeper intimacy with him. And that's called walking as Jesus walked. I just want to go through some of the other verses in this letter from John and pull out some highlights that John gives us to really understand what it means to walk as Jesus walked. And the first thing he gives us in chapter two, I think it is that it's not possible for light and darkness to cohabit. You know, light and darkness just do not get on. You know, not only is God love, but he is also light. And when the light of his love comes into our hearts, darkness has to go. You see, that's what gives us the desire to walk away from sin. I don't know about you, but I've tried walking away from sin endlessly and it's never worked. But when I have a desire for relationship with the Father, and when I'm walking towards the Father, I'm automatically walking away from sin. And many of us, we beat ourselves up and we get into condemnation because we think that we have to deal with the sin in our lives. And, you know, maybe a part of that is true, but the real reality, the way the Father sees it, is that if we are walking to him and we are focused on him and our gaze is on him and we're looking and we're desiring to be filled with his love, then we are automatically walking in the opposite direction to sin or darkness, as John puts it. You see, the Father never condemns us, but he draws us to himself. And in drawing us to himself, he draws us away from all that rubbish. And John gives us this really clear picture here that, you know, if we are to walk as Jesus walked, then we will automatically walk away from sin simply because we are walking towards the Father. See, this is not a rule. This is not a sort of must, shall do, you must do this. It's showing us what relationship looks like. It's showing us that as we focus on the relationship with the Father, we won't have any time or desire for other relationships with sin or darkness, simply because we're looking in the right direction. See, walking in the light is all about right relationships. And again, this is what we have to do. We have to set this in the context of relationship. It's right relationships, first of all, with the Father, and secondly, with one another. And as we walk in the light, we walk freely and lightly as the burdens are lifted from us. It's nothing to do with condemnation. It's all about walking into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. So the first little indicator that John gives us that if we're to walk as Jesus walks, we want to walk in the light. We want to walk towards the love of the Father, and automatically we will leave these other things behind. The second little indicator he gives us a bit later in chapter 2 is he gives us this choice of lovers. You know, he says in 1 John 2:15 to 17, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them." Now, again, that's really direct. And if we don't put that in the context of relationship, we see it as another law. We see it as something we have to do, something we have to try and achieve. But when we set it in the context of relationship, it turns it all around. And then he goes on to say, "Everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, does not come from the Father, but it comes from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Now, let's put that in the context of relationship. You know, John's giving us this contrast. Do you love the Father or do you love the world? Now, a lot of the things in the world are not bad. You know, there's a lot of things in the world that we're allowed to enjoy and they're good for us and everything. You know, I'm not being a killjoy. I'm just saying that what do we love the most? And John gives us this choice, not as a legalistic rule, but basically saying, if you want to walk as Jesus walked, if you receive the love of the Father and you desire the love of the Father, then you will automatically love the Father more than you love the things of the world. And gradually, you know, these things don't happen overnight necessarily, but gradually our lives come into that right balance where we know that our focus is on the Father. And we know that we're walking towards him simply because we love him and we want to live in that place of love. See, John's asking us the question, what do we focus on and what do we give ourselves to? He's giving us this choice. And if we make that choice, if we make that decision in the context of relationship, it's so much easier. Basically, he's encouraging us to choose the Father's will. And, you know, when why choose the world when the Father is the other option? You know, and this journey may take time, but it's a journey of relationship. It's not a journey of seeking to keep the rules, but it's a journey of living in the centre of the Father's will and say, oh, this is so wonderful. Why would I want anything else? The next little pointer that John gives us is he tells us that the anointing, the Father's anointing, is within us. And you know, that's really important for us to understand, because this anointing that is within us, it enables us to act with authority. It enables us to act as Jesus acted and to bring the will of heaven down to earth. You see, when the young son came back in Luke chapter 15, one of the first things the father did was he put a ring back on his finger, and he basically gave him the ring which signified authority. And that meant that the very next day, that boy could go into town and he could act on behalf of the father. It was like people would have to take notice of him as if it was the father himself. Now, the father didn't wait for the boy to get cleaned up. He didn't wait for him to have a bath or a shower. He didn't wait for him to go for a 2 or 3 year restoration program. He comes back sweaty, dirty, disgusting, and the father puts his robe around him and gives him a ring of authority and basically says to his son, son, you're back. Now, the thing is, John says in John chapter 8 of his gospel that a son belongs to the family forever. A son has a permanent place in the family. And that's why when this young boy came home in Luke chapter 15, the father could put the robe around him and put the ring on his finger, because he belonged. See, a slave or an orphan does not have a permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. And so when this boy comes back, he's given back the authority. And I believe that as sons and daughters, the father gives us his authority. It's not an authority we take for ourselves, but it's an authority the Father gives us simply because we are his sons and daughters. You see, slaves and servants are not trusted with it, with authority, but a father gives it to his sons and daughters simply because he trusts them. And I believe as we walk as Jesus walked, we will grow in anointing and authority. Not because we've taken it for ourselves, but because the Father is entrusting it to us. I don't know if you remember the story when Samuel anointed David to be the future king. He gets Jesse and gets all the boys in front of him, and he goes down the line and none of them is the right one. And then Samuel says to Jesse, have you got any more boys anywhere? And Jesse says, oh yeah, I've got David. He's out the back looking after the sheep. And Samuel gets him in and says, this is the one. And Samuel anoints him with oil and says, you are the future king. And then we read in that story just a little interesting phrase. It says, the Holy Spirit rushed on David and he was filled with power from that day on. I mean, can you imagine what it looks like for the Holy Spirit to rush on you? See, that's the power of the anointing. And John is reminding us here that the anointing is within us. And that anointing enables us to act with authority as sons and daughters. See, authority, I really want to stress that authority is given. It's not something we take for ourselves, but it's given to us. And, you know, the Father gives it to us. And when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, you know, what we call the Lord's Prayer, he said, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what I believe that simply means for us as sons and daughters is that we have the privilege as sons and daughters of reaching into heaven and saying, Father, what little bit of heaven do you want me to pull down to earth today? You know, what little bit of your will that is being done in heaven do you want me to bring to earth? See, that's the authority of sons and daughters, and that's the anointing that is within us. And John reminds us in 1 John chapter 3 that we are his children now. You know, how great the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, for that is what we are. We are his children now. But he goes on to say that there is so much more to come. And my encouragement, which I believe is the encouragement John is giving us here, is that we become connected to the source of life, and that we don't just collect, like, and we don't live by a collection of facts or rules or anything else, but we live in a relationship. And I see it like a little seed that is planted in our lives, and that this seed will grow and grow and grow in order that love becomes a hallmark of everything we do and everything we are. And this is the love that John writes about in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, where he says that we know and rely on the love that God has for us. See, he's not talking about a collection of facts. We're not relying on knowledge. See, when John is writing these words that we know and rely on the love God has for us, he is talking about the knowledge in our hearts. He's talking about us living this relationship, being connected to the source of life, in order that we come to a place that we know that we know that we know in our hearts that he is loving us right now, that we are living in love. You see, we know because we know, because we've experienced it, and we go on experiencing it. And this is a seed of love that is planted in our hearts and that will grow and bear this abundant fruit that we talk about. You see, the love of God goes beyond our understanding. If we ever get our minds around it, then we have minimized it and made it too small. See, if you ever think you've got it in your head, then you have made it too small. And it doesn't work that way. You've limited it. See, the love of God, the love of the Father, is limitless. And as the Father pours his love into our hearts, it's like it's a limitless supply that is poured into our hearts. Our hearts will expand and strengthen in order to contain the love that he is pouring into us. You see, some of us, I believe, we feel like what we're doing, we just haven't got enough love for the people around us. And it's like, oh, Father, give me more love. Well, he will, because he will pour his love into our hearts. And he will never stop doing that. And as he does, our hearts will expand and grow stronger and stronger. See, don't ever think you've got it because you've minimized it if you do. Just always believe that there is more for you, because that's the truth. There is more for each one of us. And this seed of love will grow in our hearts. And John tells us that when we live in love, fear has to go. See, fear and love are totally incompatible. They cannot exist together. And the good news is that love is always stronger. And it's love that drives the fear out of your life. It's love that drives the fear out of my life. And, you know, the more we live in love, the more fear has to go, because they cannot live in the same place. And that is so encouraging that, you know, a lot of the issues that we struggle with, or a lot of the things we face, at the end of the day are fear-based. And the Father says when his love lives in our hearts, when we know and experience him loving us, then fear has to go. And it's a very well-known passage in 1 John chapter 4, but let me read it from the Message. It says, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us. So you're free of worry on Judgment Day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. That's an amazing passage. You know, John is encouraging us to take up a permanent residence in a life of love. That's what walking as Jesus looks like, is that we make love our home. And we give love like the free rein of our lives. And we say, love, fill me, take me over, do whatever you want to do with me. So that everything about our lives is motivated and driven by love, not by fear. And John says that we can have that life if we live in love. And when we live in love, it will set us free from all this worry and anxiety. Because there's no room for fear when we live in love. And, you know, I just see that as such a wonderful picture of what it looks like for us to walk as Jesus walked. That when we walk as Jesus walked, we are walking in love. And John's encouragement throughout this whole letter is for us to see and to embrace the lifestyle of Jesus. He's not imposing a set of rules. He's not giving us a list of do's and don'ts, but he is showing us how Jesus lived his life, living in the love of the Father. And his encouragement to us is to embrace that lifestyle for ourselves. So that when we do, we understand that when we live in love, we can begin to walk as Jesus walked. And we can begin to do the things that he did. Not exactly the same things because we're a clone, but we can say, Father, what little bit of heaven do you want me to bring to earth today? What bit of the will of heaven can I see done on earth? That's simply what I believe it is for us to walk as Jesus walked. And I just want to finish with a quote from a very well-known person, a guy called Barry Adams. He says this, you know, when we have the spirit of sonship in us, the spirit of sonship is Christ in us, so that when we walk as Jesus walked, we yield to Jesus in us. So when we walk as Jesus walked, we yield to Jesus in us. And I think that just says it so well. And I'd just like to just take a few moments to just to pray for us. And maybe Barry, if you can start the music off again, that would be great. But I trust you can see that walking as Jesus walked is not a set of rules. It's not the do's and don'ts, but it's that same heart where we've chosen to make love our home. We've chosen to take up permanent residence in a life of love. We've chosen to give the love of the Father the free rein of our lives and of our hearts and everything we do and are involved in. And when we do that, that's when we can see the life of Christ revealed in us. And that's when we begin to bear this amazing fruit that is both permanent and lasting. And so, Father, I just ask you to come to each one of us right now. And that you would pour your love into our hearts. Once again, Father, that we would experience you loving us. That we would step deeper into the experience of the love that you have for us. And Father, I just ask that you would, Father, you would open our eyes to embrace the life of Christ within us. That we would submit to the life of Christ working within us, so that we would rest upon the life of Christ in us, so that we would fall back onto the life of Christ in us and begin to walk as you walked, begin to walk as your Son walked. Father, just overwhelm us with love this evening, so that each and every one of us knows that we've taken up a permanent residence in a life of love. Father, we long to see you. We long to experience you. We long to walk with you. We long to be close with you. And Father, just take us into that intimacy. Take us into that safe place with you. Take us into that place knowing who we are as your sons and daughters. Father, we want to be connected to the source of life. We want to be connected to the life of Christ within us, knowing that we are hidden in Christ and he is hidden in you. And as we're wrapped up in you, we can just live in that environment of love. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your great love for us. And Father, I just ask you to bless my brothers and sisters and pour your love into all of our hearts. Thank you, Father.